You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And for this episode, we have Peter Sund from Denmark. Peter is somebody I haven't seen in 30 years. He was an exchange student out in Rhode Island. He's built a career in Denmark. His beautiful music, he was playing his beautiful music then. He's still playing it. Peter Sund, welcome to Something Rather Than Nothing.
Thank you very much, Ken. Such a pleasure to be contacted and to appear on your podcast here. I'm honored.
Thanks, brother. It's great to chat with you. First question is, when you were born, were you an artist?
Yes and no, I guess. And it's a very interesting question. I think I was from an early age musically gifted. I mean, music has always been my thing. I can't draw or anything like that, but I was definitely musically gifted, and my parents recognized this and took me to lessons and supported me developing my skills as a guitar player to start off. So I think I would call myself artistic at that stage. I think we'll probably get into it, but I think from my perspective, being an artist also you need to have some kind of intention with what you're doing, and from an early age, I think it was just the sheer joy of playing and singing and getting into it, you know, and I was lucky, you know, growing up in a place and in a family where that was supported and still is. So
yeah, you know,
So it's a yes and no answer, I guess.
Yeah. You develop it over time. And I think sometimes when I ask that question, it's like when I say the word artist, it pops up in the head. A lot of times people think of like somebody with a paintbrush in front of a canvas or, you know, so it's always like, you know,
yeah.
Am I an artist or no? And, you know, I think a lot of us have a piece of that in us. But for you, it's music, Peter. And I wonder if you can indulge myself and the audience as far as. From a long time ago when we met and, you know, you were playing guitar and such, and a lot of time has passed. So can you talk about your musical path, about, you know, creating music for yourself and producing music? Can you tell us about how that's developed?
Yeah. It's been a long journey since I was as you mentioned, an exchange student in the States in 1991, living with this great guy, Joe Trepanier, who was also a musician, piano player, organist, choir director, and I think from there on, that was probably, I mean, I was playing up until then, and I've been playing in youth club bands and stuff like that, but I think coming to America and living with Joe, I realized that music was really something that I could pursue as a career. You know, there is a world between not make a stardom and not playing at all. You know, it's actually possible to make a living with music. So I think that was my sort of my kickoff. Actually started there when I was living with Joe in the States, and from then on, you know, I went back and went to more school, and I've been to music colleges and music conservatory. So I've been a student of music for many years, and you know, but I guess all of the time I I, besides being a student, also had sort of the more kind of a more rock and roll approach, playing in like rock bands. I'm also a child of the whole grunge period in the 90s, and I was playing in a rock group in Denmark, and then we recorded an album with them and did a small tour of Denmark, and that sort of, you know, when you get to that level, I guess music can really grab you. It becomes an addiction, playing loud rock music. I guess it's both addictive for the player and the audience. So that sort of side of it, playing in bands and playing with different kind of musicians has sort of been parallel to that. I've been a student of music, also going to college and conservatory and you know, developing that. And I guess with producing also, I've just always loved recording, and since those early days, I just loved fooling around with little 4-track tape recorders on cassette tape, and making demos on those, and multiple layers on these little cassette decks and just sort of having that also as a parallel thing to playing in bands and being a student and just hanging out in studios and sort of just learning and picking up stuff and eventually being asked by other bands if I could sort of do their session or record them or produce them or whatever. So that has sort of been the start of it, I guess.
Yeah, and
to the point, I guess, where I am now. For the past, I don't know, 15 years, I have been having my own recording studio at the house, and my main band has been with my wife, and we're sort of a husband and wife kind of group, duo. Singer songwriter, but it's just been our life writing songs and recording and having different bands at our house, recording them and producing them. So, well,
I wanted to ask you about just a little piece of it with. the grunge, and I mean, when listeners hear some of your delicate playing, the beautiful delicate playing, I've been fascinated by knowing some of your sounds and hearing some of your sounds and them knowing the super loud and that soft touch, two very things that you do very well. Any comments about that?
My whole grunge and heavy rock period, it was just like a really stormy relationship, and when my band that I've been playing with in the 90s sort of fell apart, I just needed a break from that whole scene, and I also started playing some jazz and just exploring different kinds of sounds and styles and when I met my wife, it actually started off as my wife's project, and I was just playing her songs and producing them in the studio, and it sort of just developed into being our main gig, and I fell in love with playing the acoustic guitar. You know, I also got a bit tired of carrying heavy shit and these amps, and everything was so loud, and getting old, I guess. No, but truthfully, I fell in love with playing the acoustic guitar, and the fact that I could I had the sound I needed to create was in my hands, really. You know, there's no sort of backup in any big Marshall rack or a floor full of pedals. You know, that has lasted for a long time, and I still love playing the acoustic. I play more and more electric again, actually. I'm sort of getting back into it, but
it's great to hear.
I guess it's been a journey, Ken. You know, it was really loud and aggressive at one point in the 90s, and I still have it in me somewhere, but occasionally it peaks out.
yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's interesting too. Yeah. The time that you were at the United States was probably one of the biggest resurgence of rock and roll here, stateside, that there's been in the early 90s. So things were, you were here at a particular time where both before and after, you didn't quite hear that intensity and sound the same way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I felt that it was great, and I feel like mentioning that. Do you remember Dr. Metal, Michael Gonzalez?
Of course,
in from Rhode Island.
Of course,
and he used to come up to Joe's house with cassette. I still have them. The Queen Strikes album. I forget the title of it.
I know which one you're talking about, with Silent Lucidity.
You know, on cassette, and yeah, exactly, that one. And he used to come up and give me these cassettes that he'd gotten from the radio station, and that really all sort of put me on to that whole grunge, heavy rocks kind of scene. It was just
bringing
great.
Up those cassettes and playing pool and listening to loud rock and roll. Very much the case.
Exactly.
So I wanted to get, when I talk to a musician and do a music episode, I want to get the listeners to hear a little bit of the music. And I wanted to move towards that. I wanted to ask you, I mean, there's a song, the English translation is In Your Hands. And it's, as I understand, I Dine Hinder. Which is a song about some folks, you know, and about the healing power of art. Before I play that song, do you want to mention a couple of comments about that song?
Yeah. Sure. This the song is the title song of our latest album that we released this September. And I have some friends it's their and Kurdish Iraqi couple, the man, his name is Niaz Bayati. He came to Denmark in the mid 80s as a refugee escaping the regime of Saddam Hussein, and he was actually severely tortured when he came to Denmark, and especially his hands were all broken. He's a wonderful artist and a sculptor, painter, makes wonderful drawings. He carries this whole Persian tradition of, you know, millennia of art tradition. He just has it in him. So he's very interesting. But when he came to Denmark in the 80s, severely damaged, he sort of both physically and mentally, he got back into art. He's always been an artist, but he got back into it, and you know, shaping in clay, sort of gradually getting his fingers back to life with creating molding sculptures and whatever in clay. And through that process, you know, coming back to being a functional human being again, really. So that's his backstory, and he's a friend of mine. I've been a colleague of his at a school where we both worked as teachers. So I'll occasionally pop out at their place, and we'll have a tea, and this time we brought the whole family, and we just had a nice evening. And he tells stories about his life and how he escaped, prisons and in both Iraq and Iran back in the 80s. And it's all very strong stuff. So when we came home, I was just like filled up with his whole story of escaping and this sort of line in your hands just popped into my head because of his whole self healing process with creating art with his hands, but also sort of from the perspective that we carry each other. We have a responsibility to carry each other through horrible stuff like this. So that's sort of the backstory. And I'm sorry for the American listeners that it's in Danish. I'll send you some I think I have it translated into three or four different languages because Nias has translated it into so his home country can read it also.
I'd love to hear it in
so I'll send you those.
In different languages. This is a beautiful song, and I'm going to cut to it, but I did see Nias Bayati. He has a TED Talk, and it was a beautiful TED Talk about this. And one of the big themes in the podcast that I get into, and I never expected how far I'd get into it, is art, healing the mind, healing the body. And I just want to really thank you for this song. We're going to cut to the song now, Peter Soon, Landau, Ibenehunder.
Right. Yeah.
And we're going to play it now, and we're going to chat about it. Enjoy.
Dine hænder, ansigt du kender, tiden forsvinder, forme vokser lær, du gør mig til den, jeg altid har villet være. I dine sender dem ud over reddens kant. Du gør dem til dem, de altid har ville være. Er det magi, der skabes inden i, når vi sætter endnu en fugl fri fra fængslets røg mod solen høj? Hvor de verden fløj, og voksens form, den er her ikke mere. Nu kun vingerne må bære. Fængsel lyse trøje mod solen høj, en spurt fordi verden fløj, og voksens form den er her ikke mere, nu kun vingerne må bære.
Beautiful song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And folks.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Folks, there's a Vimeo video for that as well. Very, 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 very beautiful. I love the sound of your playing. I love the production. You can hear the production. You can hear the quality. You can hear... You just got a beautiful feel with the songs that come out, Peter. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate it. And actually, I want to mention that if your listeners check out the video, the video is actually shot at Nias and his wife's Evans workshop. They primarily work in bronze. They cast different things in bronze these days. So they sit there, and Evan is making a sort of a head. She's sculpting him, the head sort of cut of Nias's face in clay, next to where they melt their bronze and do their stuff. So that's a little extra info for the video.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hey, Peter, I gotta hit you with one of the big questions of the podcast. What is art?
Yeah, that is a really big question, I guess. It could be many things, and in many genres, music, painting, performance, whatever. But I think for me, it needs to communicate something, and it needs to sort of leave a mark on the listener. I think that's important for me. It's so many things, because there's also art is also, you know, it's also set in time, you know, that some of the great works of the past might not communicate to me as strongly as a new song or something, a new work of art or a performance that I see right now. But it's still a great piece, because it's sort of set in time, and it's a tricky concept to sort of I think for me anyways to put a short clever answer to, but I think for me anyways it deals with communication, and it deals with having sort of making an impact. I think that's the shortest way I can put it, really. I think
I love kicking around the question, because of everybody's conception of art. But I heard from you, and I find this a lot with musicians. You said something of leaving a mark. You wanna tweak things enough. You wanna have that like memory, you know, you wanna do something to somebody. And I think that's powerful with music, you know? So you spend a lot of time in your life creating art. And one of the questions I had, Peter, was, do you ever step back and say, you know, why do I do this? Why am I trying to have this effect on folks? Do you ever step back and say, why am I so passionate about this?
That's a really interesting question as well. And I ask myself that question often. And I'm not really coming up with any good answers. I think the short one is that I just can't help myself. You know, I really have. I really just have a strong urge to write and to play songs and to. You know, there's so many layers of it also, and I think for me, where I sort of, if I should pinpoint one spot where I think where I sort of get struck by the magic of music, that's when I write, when I start to write a new song, and you know, and I have a blank piece of paper and I hit the same old G chord that I have hit a million times before, and people have hit it a million times. Before me also, you know, and then suddenly something just there's a synergy between my mind and the day and the weather and the timbre of the guitar that sort of creates an idea and creates a sound that I can build a whole song on, you know. that the moment for me is magic, and I need to go there, you know. It's food, it's soul food for me. And then the rest of the process with music is, it's more like building blocks, you know. Then comes the band, and then we do this, and then that's more like that's where sort of my training and education and experience sort of kicks in, and eventually, hopefully, it's something that has a great sound and great structure to it, but hopefully also that special place where I sort of found magic can be sort of conveyed to the listener. I hope so.
The concept of what it does for us in soul food, and I've had indigenous First Nation, Native American, North American guests on here, and using the term more of a medicine. I've had interviews talking about what it does for your soul, enhancing and music. And I think what I've discovered is that there's something more profound than we give credit for. We use different names for it, but it's nourishing of our spirit that we're actually alive, that we're alive or something, right?
I hear you, and I think it's a great thing that you ask this question, because this exact point might not be discussed enough, you know, and it should be taught in schools and stuff like that, you know, that there is a place where we actually can feel and touch our soul or whatever term you want to put on the special energy that's the human spirit, you know. You can tap into that, and it's magical, you know. But I mean, for me as a songwriter, it's not a constant state. It's magical. As I described, you know, things just sort of align, and then you have something where there was nothing. Isn't that the thing?
That's the thing. Peter, why is there something rather than nothing? Why is there something rather than nothing?
I mean, I don't know, you know, I think there's a whole bunch of answers to that. And I think I think we have something in us that we're, as we just talked about, you know, that wants to get out. We want to communicate. We want to put stuff together that where, you know, there's a synergy happening. One and two is three, and then, whoa, something new, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know where this urge comes from, but it has always been here, you know, since the first paintings on a cave somewhere, you know, or music as a means to communicate or whatever, you know, it's just been developing over thousands of years, and it's still the same. We can make stuff happen.
Yeah,
you know, we can make as humans we're capable of this magical synergy where things become more than the compounds of the individual compounds. You know.
No, I don't.
And there's a magic there.
I think what you say is the case, and it's true. Peter, I got a bigger thing I wanted to mention is I was wondering as most of the listenership, it's an international show. You're actually the 16th the guest from the 16 nations that I've had. So it's an international show.
Wow.
And yeah. So one of the great things.
Excellent.
About this is for people to kind of connect with different areas and different art. I wanted to ask if you could lead the listeners to where they can find your art, but also if you don't mind indulging us, just mention a couple things that maybe you're hearing musically in Denmark or things that you're interested in, just so we can kind of connect and hear what's going on locally as well for you.
Yeah, sure. Well, firstly, with my band, it's called Lunau Hyphesund. Is that what you call it? No, what's it called? Lunausund.dk is our webpage.
Yeah,
and,
like a hyphen right in between.
That's probably... hyphen, that's right, that's the word. Lunau, Lunau, hyphensund.dk. That's my band that I have with my wife, and we have released around six albums. Six albums, and from there we are on all social media, and you should be able to get our music on all streaming platforms, and you can also order your vinyl. We did vinyls for the past two albums also.
Oh,
so
lovely.
You can order those if you like. And for my production work, my webpage is thefarm-music.com, and there's a bunch of links and for different artists that I produced and recorded at my studio. So those two webpages, you can discover all about me. So, and what I'm listening to, that's also a really good question. I don't know. I go to a lot of sort of periods. I'm constantly sort of having the Beatles and the band and stuff like that as a reference to what I'm doing, in terms of good taste and how to play really well and how to write good songs. So that's sort of my anchor, I guess. There's a pretty interesting folk music scene in Denmark right now. There's a couple of bands, something like Dreamers Circus and Basco. You could check out, which sort of has, I guess, like new Nordic contemporary folk music. They're a good representative of that. Yeah, I don't know what else am I listening to. I really enjoy listening to like American folk country music. I saw Chris Thiele twice before the whole pandemic stuff here.
Yes.
Once solo and once with the Punch Brothers. So I think he's really great. He's a unique musician at a extreme level of craftsmanship. So I listen to him quite often, and you know, and yeah, I think there's a good scene there in America for like new bluegrass country, sort of indie bluegrass. Is that what I don't know? Do you have a name for it?
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens is there's, speaking of the band, in that great film, The Final Waltz, there's this great description where somebody's trying to describe
The Last Waltz.
Yeah, they're describing, they're like, well, the band's doing this music, and I guess I was listening to it, and there's a soul, there's the funk, there's, you know, describing this whole thing, and man, that's a strange kind of music. What do you call it? I said, we call everything rock and roll. Rock and roll, like, at the end of the day, it's, I don't know, it's all in there. It's in the soup, right?
yeah. It's all in the soup, and that's really great. I think that's where I am, really. I mean, I'm still a rock and roller as I was 30 years ago, but there's just been poured so much stuff into the soup, so it contains a lot of stuff, you know. Yeah, but I mean, I go back to the classics a lot, you know, and so yeah, these days I don't know.
I want to say, Peter, this episode's been 30 years in the making. I am most glad to connect with you as an artist, as a human being, and to learn about your music, the beautiful music that you do. And I just want to thank you for stopping on the program, and you know, for us to be able to connect, you know, around music and continue the conversation, which is what I try with the podcast.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, Ken. I'm really happy that you asked me to do this, and it's been great reconnecting after so many years. So I really enjoy your podcast. As I told you before we went online, I only watched one because I immediately recognized that all the past participants' answers would be great, and they would influence my answers. So I now look forward to listening to all the rest of them.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Stay well. Stay healthy. Great success to you, Peter. And I know we're going to talk soon. Take care, brother.
for træet er tomt og cirklen fuld. Sommeren falmer i en seng af guld.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.